Well, as promised, this is our semi-annual weather extravaganza. We do one where we'll talk about weather and the science of weather with a couple of experts, try to squeeze a couple of predictions out of these guys. Usually we do it in the spring, right before the storm season, and then we do another one this time of year to try to predict what kind of winter we're going to have, or at least how the conditions are setting up for the winter. And so it's a great pleasure to welcome back two of our favorite nerds, Bill Meck, chief meteorologist from the LAX-18 Storm Tracker Weather Center, and John Gordon, who drove all the way in here from Louisville, as he has biannually with us from the National Weather Service.
Hey, cruiser with a K. What a pleasure. We're putting the band together, man.
And actually, we prefer the term geek.
Geek? Oh, geek instead of nerds?
Geek 1, geek 2?
Geek. All right. Geek 1 and geek 2. In-town
geek. We're geek Americans.
Out-of-town geek.
That's right. Golly, they're being pretty fussy for nerdy geeky guys.
Well, I already got the stink eye from Cruiser. I mean, you know, because I spoke out of school over here when I was talking about the breeziness, and I get a look, you know, he's looking Doc over the glass, like, uh-oh.
No, he's looking at you like, don't mess with her. She will take you down.
I was just wondering what the disagreement was about. Well, let's go back to the spring show and a prediction that you guys got right. Because
you sound surprised.
Wait a minute. Last August.
Hey, I'm trying to help you out.
A year ago in August, I told you that this would be a very, very active hurricane
season.
That's
where I was going. Mm-hmm. That's where I was going right here. I got the USA Today from November 30th. Destructive hurricane season over 2017. Ranks as the worst ever, setting records for cost, rainfall, winds, and more. So,
ding, ding, ding. John's a winner.
And it's a 10-year cycle, folks. So if you have folks in Florida, the Gulf Coast, it is just beginning. It is just beginning. It's been a 10-year quiet cycle since 2005, and now the party's over.
So how long
is it going to go on 10 years?
Yeah, it's part of the whole warming cycle that's going on in the Atlantic, which is about to come to an end. But just think back to the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. Horrible hurricane years.
Yes.
And people have forgotten because most people weren't around then.
People have very short memories. People don't remember. And there's lots of cities so underprepared.
Well, Miami really
is
dodged.
Oh, Miami's big time.
Prepared?
Big time.
You say Miami
no,
is
they dodged
not
the bullet.
Prepared.
They dodged the bullet.
But are you saying they are or are not prepared?
They're better prepared because of what happened.
Yeah.
Now, that's what happens. Tampa Bay is way underprepared. Jacksonville, way underprepared.
Well, even with Irma, which came up right up through the central part of Florida. Right. And when it was coming up, it was a low-end 2, high-end 1. That was it by the time it got up there. Mm-hmm. And there were places without power in central Florida for 10, 12 days.
Yeah.
Like what we had with an ice storm.
Yes. And down in the islands. I used to fly out of the Caribbean with the hurricane hunters. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people, I just love the Puerto Rico. We don't have power. Well, no kidding. In Hurricane Luis in 1995, the island of St. Croix had no power, for 17 months. Nope. Nothing moves fast in the Caribbean. Nothing.
Nothing.
And when they ask you, what time is a cruiser? They go, it's island time. Don't worry.
No problem, man. No problem. We'll go, so,
your house is on fire. Do not worry.
John's going all Rasta here. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
that. Vesti came in.
It's island time, man.
Yeah, that's what we used to hear all the time. I mean, I heard that all the time.
So we shouldn't fret that some of Puerto Rico missed out on that power.
Well, what's interesting is you hear Puerto Rico in the news. You never hear the U.S. Virgin Islands. The news department should do a big story. St. John's, St. Croix, St. Thomas were obliterated.
Well, the news department ought to send us to the Virgin Islands.
No, you don't want to go now.
To do that. Oh, I don't want to go now?
No, you don't want to go.
All right, as soon as I get it cleaned up.
Once I get power.
Once I get power, I want to go.
I have friends who are ATCs in the Virgin Islands.
What's an ATC?
Air traffic controller.
That will be on Jeopardy, a cruiser at 5:55.
Okay. All right. I didn't know ATC.
Yeah, they actually are in the Virgin Islands, and so they were gone for a while because there was nothing to do, and they're flying them in and out, you know, to Miami to stay. Because they're still just such a disaster.
Very bad. So Cruiser holds in his hands right now.
Well, the economic toll of the hurricanes this season, $206.6 billion.
Yeah.
Go back to, and then it has a list of all the.
There's more stuff to break now also than there used to be in the 50s and 60s.
Very good observation.
Well, that's true. Yeah, there's more to wreck.
The thing is, it's unusual you had 3 Cat 5s. That is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree. Very extraordinary. But the thing is, we may not have Cat 5 for a while, but there's going to be increased hurricane activity big time.
We're going to have more of this.
Is there anything you talk about they haven't done much or the way that they're not prepared? What can they do to be prepared for a Category 5?
Category 5, the biggest thing is having an evacuation plan.
Get out. Yeah.
I mean, years ago, one of the coolest things, Bill may know this, in 1969, Wade Geis was just an emergency manager in Jackson County, Mississippi, And what he did was just so smart, Cruiser. Mm-hmm. He took Highway 49, which is the main road in Mississippi, north-south, and he said, effective at 6 p.m. tonight, it is now four lanes going north.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of two. Yeah. And everyone says, oh, wow, that's a good idea. Well, no kidding. He was the first to ever think that way.
Really?
And now when you see the interstates along the coast, they all have gates as yes. you're nearing the coast to block off the entrances, and so that way they can make them all one direction.
I kept telling people in Florida Cruiser, you got to leave by Wednesday for Irma. You got to leave. And they said, well, I have till Thursday. No, you don't understand. You have to leave.
But there's no building stuff. There's no way they can stay. There's nothing that they can do to avoid this because the insurance goes up. They lose everything. I mean,
there are places, community centers, and different designations, yeah. but there's not enough.
Yeah, because some people. I mean, their houses, building, or something. You know what I mean? It's like,
well, unless you got an underground bunker.
You don't want an underground bunker, not with that much rain.
Right. Well, and Texas is a different problem. Bill's exactly right.
Well, but and I was going to hit on Texas because with Harvey, the mayor of Houston decided not to evacuate because, well, but and John looks like that was a stupid decision.
See, New Orleans.
He's got 3.2 million people to try to get out of there. It would have been a nightmare. They wouldn't have. You would have had people stranded on the roads by the time Harvey got there.
My issue is, Cruiser, is this, and Bill knows this, is he told people, because they were issuing tornado warnings because of the feeder bands were coming still up, and he told people to go up in their attic. And then they told people to bust through their attic and go on the roofs. And when I heard that, I had to go for air. I had to go for a walk. I thought, that goes against everything Bill and I teach people. Please go to your attic immediately.
You know, and one thing, too, when I'm doing the Weather 101s and we're talking about hurricanes, one of the things I ask the kids, okay, are hurricanes good or are hurricanes bad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody's saying, oh, they're bad, they're bad. And, well, that's a good answer because you see the stuff on the news. But the thing is, the climate, the world's weather needs hurricanes. They perform a function. And their job is to take heat from the tropics and disperse it out across the globe. The problem is when man puts something in front of a hurricane, man versus hurricane, hurricane wins.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah. And we keep putting more and more things in front of the hurricane. Like you said, there's more stuff to break. And we'll go back and rebuild again and rebuild again and again and again because it's a major economic driver for those states and those communities. Bill, no question about it. I mean, how many people in this listening audience went to some beach over the course of the summer, and we'll do it next summer, and maybe you do it multiple times in a year.
And Bill makes a great point. On Sandy, Hurricane Superstorm
no,
Sandy.
No, it's whatever, Hurricane
I know,
Sandy.
Whatever you want to call it. With Cruiser, barrier islands were there to block bad things from the beaches.
Mm-hmm.
And people lived on these. I did not know this when that happened. Were you stunned that people lived on these barrier islands? And, of course, what happened when Sandy came in? Barrier Island destroyed.
But destroyed.
Well, yeah. Even all the way up and down the coast. I mean, the islands of South Carolina that were hit hard by Hugo, those are barrier islands.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
They're there for a reason. They protect the mainland. All the Outer Banks of North Carolina are barrier islands.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you think over the next, well, now 9 years,
it's an 8 to 12-year cycle.
Yeah.
It's going to be increased. We may only have three or four ones, but the thing is, more are going to be coming. Chances are better, and they're going to be hitting things, hitting islands, hitting coasts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the thing is, this is also nothing new.
You know,
and we'll talk about this as we're doing, aiming toward a winter prediction. You know, things happen and things repeat. The hurricane pattern that we saw this year was almost identical to 61, 62.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, where Carlo goes into Texas, almost the exact same spot that Harvey did.
Uh-huh.
Ireland got hit by Ophelia this year, got hit in 61.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico got hit in 61. I mean, it's these things repeat.
You all sound like if you're going to predict a hurricane season, history plays a major role in that prediction.
Yeah,
much or more than maybe whatever La Niños or Niñas or whatever
those
other
are the
conditional
variables.
Things are out there.
There's already like a set amount of parameters. We know that the Atlantic is warm, but then if you get a La Niña or an El Niño start going, the El Niño will tend to kill hurricanes in the Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
What happened this year was that we ended up with a La Niña forming in the Pacific. So the number of storms in the Pacific was way down.
Yeah.
At the same time, the Atlantic was way up. The balance is maintained, but the emphasis point shifts.
Right, right.
Yeah, so. And the population, what Cruiser was saying, folks, is the population of Florida has just gone nuts since when you were born. Just gone astronomical.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, Ponce de Leon went there and it was a swamp. And we put concrete on the swamp. Now, think about that.
Mm-hmm. And then we started building hotels with balconies or nice homes with ocean views and everything else. And we're addicted to it, and it'll never change. And as I said, it's a major economic driver for those states and that region of the country. You take that away, So they're always going to rebuild. And if they have to have the federal government come in with flood insurance or whatever else to enable that rebuilding to be done,
yes.
You call it welfare for the rich or whatever you want to call it, but they're going to continue to do that.
And that's always a big thing because a lot of my friends, I'm sure Bill too, a lot of them are certified meteorologists, CCMs, and they get in these court cases, lawyer versus lawyer, mano on mano. Was the damage caused by the wind? Was it caused by the storm surge? Was it caused by the flood? Was it caused by the tornado? What was it caused by? And they argue over minutiae, and it may get your claim approved or disapproved.
Yeah, that's why it's so important when you were even going out on a damage survey, was it a straight line wind or was it a tornado?
Yes.
You know, a 70-mile-an-hour wind or an 80-mile-an-hour wind does the exact same damage, but if it's classified a tornado, it's classified for insurance purposes differently.
Was the flooding in Houston, the fact that it reached, it didn't matter where you lived, it seemed to touch you, it reached you, it flooded your neighborhood, no matter what kind of neighborhood you lived in.
Yes.
Did that surprise you guys, the extensiveness of the flooding in Houston, how widespread it was?
It was unusual for the fact that the storm stalled.
Completely. You know,
usually they'll recurve out, but it's not unprecedented. It's unusual.
It's very unusual.
But keep in mind that you know the way geography and topography are set up, there are natural drainages that are to help slow things down. All that's been paved over and channeled. So what would have been a big deal earlier now becomes a mega disaster because you're trying to manually control what nature set up.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Bill's exactly right. And there's all these shipping. Houston's really complicated. First of all, it's the fourth biggest city in America. Most people never get that right.
Right, and they have no zoning laws.
Right. Yeah. And they have all these weird shipping channels for the giant oil super tankers to come in there and everything else. And they've paved over everything.
Yeah.
It's a mess there. Did it surprise me? Yes, to some degree, but you got to remember, when you put that much concrete over that much area, it's not good. As George Bush would say, very bad, not good.
Because concrete does not absorb water.
No.
Whereas dirt
does. We've been trying to make that change for years. It still hasn't happened, Cruiser.
Well, I got a text from a guy. The mayor did not have to evacuate everyone for the flooding in Texas, just those few people in the flood-prone areas. About as many folks go to watch a UK football game when it sells out.
No.
This went beyond that. And the mayor had to make a decision, do I do a citywide evacuation in a short period of time where you could have upwards of 3 million people trying to get out.
Right.
And
you got the New Orleans example where they should have evacuated and didn't. But then the flip of that is you have the Rita example where they did evacuate and nothing necessarily happened and there were deaths during the evacuation.
Yeah, that's exactly. Ran out of gas. That was the big thing there.
Well, and here's the other thing that I noticed too after Irma. So you got everybody out of Key West, even most of the diehards that would normally have stayed in
Key West.
The
Jimmy Buffett fans.
Yeah, down there in Margaritaville that would have stayed and had a hurricane party. Well, then the authorities wouldn't let them in for days, up to about a week. And I read more than one account of somebody saying, that's it, I'm never getting out again.
Right.
So that's the other thing. It's not only, like you say, Bill, the cry wolf situation where you evacuate everybody, and as it turned out, you didn't have to do that. This time you had people that were frustrated because they couldn't get back in when they wanted to.
Because
they didn't have power and they didn't have, I mean, there was so much that they didn't have. They couldn't allow people to, if you got no power, we've got no 911 service. So we couldn't let people, it wasn't safe to let people come back in.
Yeah, and I want to address that, what you just read up on the screen, is that Bill is a very, very responsible meteorologist, and he doesn't use excessive hyperbole, my friend over here. Mm-hmm. But there are a bunch of folks that overuse words. But this rainfall event in Houston was epic.
I mean, it is number one.
Yeah. Of all in America. Uno. Number one event.
Even more than Katrina?
For rain.
But the world's record
for 1 hour. I don't even know if you know this. The 1 hour rainfall record was in Holt, Missouri in 1942. How many inches do you think fell in an hour?
In 1 hour in Holt, Missouri?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go 20.
Well, that's pretty bad. No, it's a foot of rain.
Yeah.
It was actually 42 minutes. 42 minutes, they got a foot of rain, which is extraordinary.
Yeah.
But this thing, Harvey in Texas, is truly uno.
But on the flip side of
inches.
That, because again, it barely surpassed the record from David. But the thing is, there are so many more reporting stations now than there used to be.
That's true.
So you've got a much denser network to try and find the spot where everything happened. So there's no say that if David in 79. Would have produced as much rain as Harvey did.
It's a 0.1% event.
Yeah.
It's just really off the chart.
That's a once in a generation.
Good.
Right. I mean, the world's record's in La Reunion Island in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
You know about that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one everyone talks about. 72 inches in 24 hours. Good Lord. I don't want to be there.
No. And I would evacuate. We're going to talk about winter weather here with our guests coming up in the forthcoming segments. We have Bill Mack, chief meteorologist from the LAX 18 Storm Tracker Weather Center, and John Gordon from the National Weather Service office out of Louisville. And our phone line, 253-5959. You can call or text to that line. We've already had some texters as we've spotlighted one of those. 253-5959, *590 from AT&T. Toll free, 1-877-777-0590. Email address, cruiser@wvlkam.com. John Gordon from the National Weather Service, Bill Mack from WLEX, the Storm Tracker Weather Center, LEX 18 Storm Tracker Weather Center, here in the studio. All right, now, when I'm looking at the folklore weather prediction.
Oh, I knew this was coming. I told my staff I'm going to get the almanac. Here it comes.
Sure, you're going to get the persimmon seeds said we'll get average snowfall, but the berries said a cold winter. The squirrel nests, a mild winter based on the nests, a cold winter based on the squirrels' tails.
Do you believe?
Well, it's all over the place. I don't know. That's why I'm asking you guys.
Lily Worm said starts cold, then most of the winter is warm.
Yeah.
That's the official Beattyville Woolly Worm, and then like a week of cold at the end.
And then you the oversized hedge apples.
If the
hedge apples are big, that's a sign of a bad winter.
Yeah, they're pretty big this year.
Oh, well, see, even you're looking at them.
You're over here
slamming me.
I love this stuff, man. I love it. The persimmon seeds is the best one. Who opens up these giant things about, there's a fork, Bill. No, there's a knife. Maybe it's a spoon.
Who measures squirrel tails?
Hey, it's too bad Ted the Rooster died, because he used to do a pretty good job. Remember Ted the Rooster?
Ted the Rooster, the fork in the road.
Yeah.
Take it.
Yeah, he did a good job. But what's wrong with the almanac? I mean, farmers
it
have been
has
planting
very
by
good
the
information.
Moon and things
it
like
is
that
great
for years.
Meteor showers and eclipses.
No, but what about for like planting by the moon and that kind of stuff, you know, when farmers have been using it for years and years?
Are you guys so jaded by science that you...
Science! You played that for us last time, Thomas Dolby.
I'll play it again. I got it. It's locked into the roster of soundbites. On my roster of soundbites, it's locked in. But let me just ask, these little signs of nature, these little, whether it's caterpillars or seeds or tree bark or whatever else.
Weather folklore is cool. It's fun.
So, but it does not give you some indication accurately of what might happen?
There are some short-term ones that are actually okay.
Yes. There are some ones that really work out. For instance, this is not winter related. This is a fact.
All right.
If you're out there on your porch at the Cruiser Dome having a brewski,
right,
and you're out there on your porch and you see all these spiders on the web, they're moving around, they're bouncing around, it will not rain that night. No chance of rain. None. But if you're out there the next day with your brewski at the Cruiser Dome and all of a sudden all the spiders are gone and all the webs are vacant, it will rain that night.
Where did the spiders go?
Beats the hell out of me. I don't know.
They're in your house, dude.
So
That does work. How about this, Bill? Red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning,
sailors take warning.
That always
Ring
works, too.
Ring around the moon means rain soon.
That works, too.
All right. Yeah, but that's short-term.
Yeah. Those are short-term. Those are actual weather events that are now happening.
Let's address hedge apples, persimmon seeds, and things like that.
Yeah.
In the summer, drought affects the growth.
Right.
Heat stress.
Okay. Yes.
Erosion, soil type. All these things have factors that are way beyond the scope of folklore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. So that could have an impact that doesn't have anything to do with...
Correct.
I got you. All right. Which then makes the prediction that winter kind of shaky.
Correct.
Okay. All right. I got you. We'll get into then some other more scientific
I'll give you my prediction. Bill can give you his whenever you want.
What, for the winter?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
You want to go or you want me to go?
Oh, you go.
No, not now.
Yeah.
Let me take that for the end. Stay tuned
for the bumper.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
After we hear she blinded me with
science. Will John predict a snowier than average winter? No. Will Bill say it's going to be cold?
This is keeping him hanging
on,
John.
Come on in at 253. Call it right now. Call Cruiser.
We just tease you to death. No, so are you guys already starting to get questions? Are we going to have a white Christmas? Are they asking you, Bill? They're asking you, John?
Yes.
Already asking if we're going to have a white Christmas.
I like that better than my daughter's getting married August the 23rd. What do you think?
In 2019.
Yeah, what's it look like? What do you mean you don't have a computer model to dictate what the forecast is going to be?
About 10 years ago, some service that they were trying to peddle, you know, that we could do a 365-day forecast. And it's like, no, you can't.
Just stop it and go away. No, you can't.
Weather is very humbling. If you'd like to be humbled, come join us.
Well, and see, you all should have been glad that I pointed out that you were right at the beginning of the broadcast.
Hell froze over.
Giving you credit.
By the way, the other thing I think we talked about.
People won't hesitate to tell you when you're wrong.
Yep. Was the fire season in California.
Correct.
Yes.
Because they had so much rain last winter that's all fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's bad.
It's very bad,
it
folks.
Is
whatever
bad.
You, what's ever going on in your life right now, you don't want to be in Southern California.
No kidding. It's worse there. Repo Greg texts, wind from the west, fishing's the best. Wind from the east, fishing's the least.
Okay.
You guys heard that?
I think
before?
That makes sense. Yep.
Not knowing enough about fishing, but I'm guessing that if rain is on the way in, then that's when fishing goes down.
Is it? Okay.
I've heard both on that.
Because there's a corollary that if leaves show you their backside, rain is coming. Because you can think of it like how you comb your hair, how it always goes one direction. But if you flip it the other way, your hair looks goofy. Well, if the trees start looking goofy, that means the wind is not coming from the prevailing direction.
Ah, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, that's cool. Now, the one when I was a kid, now Bill will laugh at this. When I was a kid, my parents tried to tell me, my grandma, look at the cows are laying down. It's going to rain.
That
and I used to
Midwest.
Believe this. And I said that to my professor in college. He was not happy.
Not amused.
He was not amused. He says, where did you hear this? And I told him, he says, do you realize when you're 2,000 pounds, don't you like to lay down when you said my legs, my feet hurt?
Yeah. Or a fraternity knocked him down.
That's different.
And tipped him. La Nina.
Yes.
There's a developing La Nina. According to meteorologists at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Prediction Center.
Keep in mind, 6 months ago, they were predicting El Nino.
Okay.
So
Bill
doesn't put a lot of stock in that.
You don't put a lot in the La Nina?
No, in the actual things, but the forecasting of them, I do not.
It's very hard.
Okay.
But anyway, keep going.
So, I was going to ask you guys, La Nina, is it going to arrive
this
winter?
We're in one now.
We're in one, so it's already here.
Weak.
And it's weak. So what does that mean for our winter? Since it's weak, nothing?
It means that we are likely going to be on the warmer side. You know, it'll be cold north of us. We're more in the transition zone, and you know, with the main storm path likely passing to our north. And if the storm path stays to your north, you're not going to get much in the way of snow at all. That being said, all it takes is a little variation, one or two storms, and you can get that to come in. It should be an active pattern, but for us, it tends to be a little milder. Tends to be.
Okay.
Would you concur?
When we have a lot
sort of. My thing is, I think we're going to have enormous fluctuation of temperature this winter. I think this will. I think you're doctors, if you're listening to Cruiser, which you should be.
Yes.
Anyway, I think you're going to have a lot more flu, a lot more colds, and a lot more visitors, because I think there's going to be tremendous fluctuation of the variation. We're right in the middle, and you'll see some ridging that will push in behind these cold waves, and we'll have 10 days of warm, and then it will get cold for 5 or 10 days.
We've already seen that a little bit,
yes,
haven't
we?
I mean, the weather in and around Thanksgiving
up and down
was great.
Yes.
Beautiful
right.
days, unusually
right.
mild.
Very warm.
Very warm, and then as we saw starting really, last night?
Yeah, Monday night.
I mean, today's a normal day. This is what a normal December day is.
Right.
You know, so and when you look at the big picture, it's all going to average out. When you look at Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you know, we were ridiculously warm. Right. Coming in for this Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be ridiculously cold. It all averages out.
Yeah.
A lot of up and down this winter, temperature-wise. And Bill's right. Now, I do predict this. There will be a major ice storm somewhere in the Ohio to Great Lakes area. I don't exactly know where it's going to set up. Probably in January time frame.
And that's part of the whole transition when you're looking at the La Nina, where wherever the jet stream is, where the storm track is. If it's coming pretty much right over you, you get some pressing Arctic air that can undercut the warmer air aloft, and that's the makings for an ice storm. So again, each individual storm will have its own path, but the trend is for bigger events. And same thing with a snow event, where you're playing with dynamite here. You're going to have a lot of heat and a lot of moisture available coming out of the Gulf. We're already tapping the Arctic air coming in from Canada. This is going to be the December version of it, and early December at that. So again, there's a lot of things on the table.
So if you have a wide fluctuation in temperature, week 10 days where it's unseasonably warm, and then the bottom falls out for a week 10 days, then it goes back up again, that can make whatever snowfall we might get. We could have a snowfall of a trace and then turn around 2 weeks later and get a foot. Does it follow that way, too, in terms of...
Think back to 2015.
Yeah, that's right, 2015.
When most of the winter, from December until Valentine's Day, was ridiculously warm.
Sure.
And it was terrific. And then from Valentine's Day to the first week in March, we had the three worst weeks you can imagine.
Oh, it was terrible,
So how do you classify the winter? Mm-hmm. You know, is it a warm winter?
That was a difficult one to classify.
Yeah.
Right. Now, when my guys, we do this annual shareholders report to Congress what we do every year. And they said, what's the number one weather headline, in my opinion, Bill, for the whole year was the warm winter last year. February, we broke the records.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then in March, it got cold.
I know. It was really warm overall.
Is the National Weather Service this year changing something in regard to its snow warning pattern or system?
Yeah, they're trying to do this, what I've been preaching for 15 years. We're a bureaucracy.
No.
Yeah.
Federal government agency or a bureaucracy?
I am an irritant to many people in my headquarters. I think they're waiting for the days that I leave. I cause a lot of people trouble above me.
Well, you're a quiet wallflower kind of guy,
no,
John.
No, I just try to do what's right. And I go through these, Bill, I just go through a lot of bureaucracy. Yeah, they're trying to cut down, and Bill, I think, is going to nod big time. We have way too many products.
Oh, yeah.
Way too many.
Don't use half your products.
What do you mean by products?
Okay, in Michigan, for God's sakes, if I was a broadcaster in Michigan, I just wouldn't even listen to the Weather Service sometimes. We have a lake effect snow warning here. And it's only good till Friday evening. And over here, we have a snow squall warning. And over here, we have a wind chill warning. And over here, we have this. And Letterman did a skit on this a few years ago. It's hilarious, Cruiser. Mm-hmm. Watch, warning, advisory. And nobody knew what they were under. And it's just ridiculous. So they're trying to cut down what you're reading, I think, in front of you is the hazard simplification, which I hope will actually happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're trying to limit the number of products and give Bill and his viewers the best possible product that we can give you.
Your snow advisory and your winter weather advisory, I basically classify as a traveler's advisory.
I know.
Because
that's what it is.
Here's what I was asking about.
Okay, fire away.
The National Weather Service this year, they're going to test this in Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Detroit, Burlington, Vermont, State College, Pennsylvania, Binghamton, New York, and Cheyenne, Wyoming. By next winter, they expect it to go to all offices where the National Weather Service will predict snow squalls. Yeah. And now there'll be no watches on that, only warnings.
I know what they're talking about. Now.
And that is basically a snow squall warning will convey the danger travelers face from an extreme reduction in visibility during short-term bursts of heavy snow.
And I'll tell you what that's about, and I think Bill will agree with me. Is we've got to do something, and Bill may disagree on what that something is. But remember when that beautiful 12-year-old girl was decapitated up on I-75 a few years ago? We had a snow squall, and I remember the TV anchor in Cincinnati. I just don't know how this is going to happen. It was sunny, except in one area there was a big snow burst on I-75. Where are people going? Are they going the speed limit? No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're going way above the speed limit. And all of a sudden you see a wall of white death. Oh, I think I can still go 80. Yeah. And then there was Bill? 60-car pileup.
Yeah,
and
I remember
this,
that.
And this semi-rig went across the cable. Mm-hmm. The wire became detached and...
Yeah.
The rest was not good.
I remember that, yeah.
And then there's ones on the PA Turnpike, the Ohio Turnpike, and they're trying to do something for these convective snow showers that are killing people, mainly because of speed.
Right.
Because it's not an amount of snow that's doing it. The overall accumulation is negligible.
No, right, yeah.
I mean, there's some because it makes the road slick, and it happens very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
And it's also very, very localized, which then makes it a very difficult thing to try and pinpoint and forecast in trying to get that information out.
Yes. It sounds similar to when, and we've all done this, even if you haven't driven through a snow squall, you've obviously driven through where there's one storm cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Sunny before you get get under the cloud, and...
The world is ending.
And it's raining like crazy. You can't see anything.
Thing.
And then you drive out of it, and the sun's back out.
Right.
Again, same concept.
Same idea.
And the speed. Yeah. The speed is getting worse. So all you state troopers, I don't know where you are, but I come over here all the time. I never see you, ever. And if you would turn down the speed a little bit, this would not happen.
Send your emails to John Gordon.
I'm just telling you. Right. That's the truth.
Yeah. Now,
It's speed.
It's the speed of these things.
That's the ultimate answer for just about every winter hazard. It's because the simplest thing to do when it's snowing, icing, sleeting a little bit, even the littlest sometimes cause the biggest problems.
Mm-hmm.
You get that little trace of snow that just begins to accumulate. We get more wrecks with than we do with 3-inch snow.
And timing too. It comes at the wrong time, or you'll get just like a little trace of snow, but it's it's real cold, and it's sticking on the roads immediately.
And my guys are well aware, because in 2011 in Louisville, we got a quarter inch of snow, but the temperature went from 34 to 28. There were 390 wrecks in Louisville.
Wow.
390, and there was one. Remember about in 2005 or 6, we had light freezing drizzle on the first Saturday in December, the shopping Saturday, and there were Lexington was shut down. Light freezing drizzle. It was a parking lot.
Because we, first of all, come so fast, so we're not really warned about it.
Right.
And then we look at it and we go, well, this isn't much.
I can get out.
It can be enough to be very dangerous and very slippery not a long period of time.
Yeah, right. But, I remember driving on Tate's Creek Road during that because my daughter had a basketball game I had to get her to.
It was bad.
Oh, man, yeah.
It was really bad. I-71 especially was bad. It took, I know someone that took 7 hours to go from Louisville to Cincinnati.
Ice is the worst. That ice you were predicting, somewhere in the Ohio
Valley. In Ohio, Great Lakes, we'll get an ice storm.
Oh, okay. So, all right,
it may not be here, but I mean, there will be an ice storm.
There's the broad side of the barn. Now go ahead and hit it.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, Bill makes an excellent point. There are some hyping people in the weather community that just try to go for these. It's like being a marksman. And if you're not a marksman, you're not going to hit the magic thing on the target shooting at the shooting range, right?
Right, right.
Right. And there's people go, it's going to hit Cape Hatteras. I'm like, no, it probably won't hit Cape Hatteras.
Yeah. It's and that's the thing, and Bill and I have talked about this, and I know it's difficult and it's foolhardy to try to do some sort of long-range prediction, because when a storm does get close, still, you really don't know exactly where it's going to hit until right before it is going to hit. Same with a hurricane. I hear you guys over
and over. The 2002 ice storm, which paralyzed Lexington for a week, which kept me out of my house for a week.
Yes.
You know, you go up to the Ohio River there at Maysville, and they had 6-8 inches of snow. You get south of Richmond, there was nothing.
I hear you guys talk over and over again in the wintertime about the direction or the pattern of the low-pressure system. Mm-hmm. Where is it going to go? Yes. Where is it going to turn? Yes. How far south or how is it going to go, or how far north is it going to stay? And that usually dictates. And so,
and the transition is always in Kentucky. Always.
And
that's
the
hardest thing to do.
Why is it?
Because where we are.
Yeah, we're right in the middle of the country. Yeah. And my guys work their tail on a winter storm. They look so stressed out. It's the most difficult thing we do to try to figure out where the rain snow line is, the sleet line, the freezing rain line, and then the amounts.
Because 2 degrees makes all the difference in the world.
My gosh.
And truthfully, 2 degrees is our actually 3 degrees is really our margin for error.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a huge difference into what happens if it's 33 degrees versus 31 degrees.
Yeah,
and that is, you know, because now you're talking even some localized, you know, little microclimates can come into play, and it's a nightmare.
I guess it's very rare when we're not in that transition where you see it, it's big, we know the direction, it's not strain, all the models agree.
What was the cold winter? Was it 14, 15?
Yes.
Yeah, where everything was snow. That winter was fun because it was
awesome. So you love this stuff.
Well, yes and no. It still is fun, but sometimes the real-world effects get to be, I mean, the stress of them gets to be an awful lot.
Yeah. All right. Let me give you a couple facts here. Here's one that's really cool for the listeners here.
Okay.
Greatest known 24-hour temperature drop since 1948 in Lexington. It was 64 degrees in 1948 on January 23rd at midnight. That night, it went to 20 below.
Wow. And 84 degrees.
That's also the coldest temperature in Lexington.
Yeah, 64 degrees. Went,
from 64.
Sorry, 44 to minus 20. It was a 64-degree difference.
Okay. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
What's the coldest temperature ever in Lexington?
It
happened in 1963.
Happened in 1963. I don't know. Coldest weather, coldest temperature ever.
January 24.
I'll go minus 27.
You're close. Minus 21.
Okay.
Yeah. Minus 21.
The coldest.
It's
in,
been a
in
while
Kentucky
since we were below zero here.
Was
it's
37 while. Below, yeah. And that was in 1993.
94, right after the big snow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The one that shut down the whole state.
Yeah. Caller wanted to know about the Admiral Robert Fitzroy Barometer. What is that? I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is, but I mean, there's different types of barometers that are used. That might be a specific kind.
He might have bought that at a yard sale.
Well, Torricelli helped invent the whole thing. I don't know which one he's looking at. Barometers are a good thing. It's funny now since the internet.
A barometer or a barometer, and it's
well, there's aneroid mercurial barometers. They're done a little differently, and we use them. In the old days before the internet, the hospitals would call every hour. What's the current barometer? What's the current barometer to calibrate? Now they have the internet.
They don't even need it. Science. All right, there it is. Thomas Dolby.
The music video is a classic.
Oh, yeah. I think 82 or 83. Science! All right, two guys of science here. Troy At wants to know, is Groundhog Day as big of a favorite movie among meteorologists as it is with everybody else?
It does have one of the greatest songs of all time as its theme, I Am Your Weatherman by Delbert McClinton.
That's a, yeah.
I keep telling you, get that as my walk-up music.
I know it. I know it. I will do that. I got to do that instead of the
Make
weather.
Make your New Year's resolution right now.
No, I'll I Am Your Weatherman because I like Delbert McClinton.
And Bill Murray is the greatest actor
Bill
of our
Murray's
day.
Good.
So,
it's a good cool. I'll tell you one thing. You cannot get a hotel. You cannot get a hotel in Punxsutawney.
Oh, I know you
Next
can.
Year or the year after.
I
this
know.
Is big deal. And then the thing, one year he got bit. One of the guys go down there and reached him.
Good.
Out. I mean, I've been rooting
I've been rooting for that for years.
Ground squirrel.
Let that little varmint bite these guys. Get your hands out of my house.
And pull the tail of the squirrel.
Good. Cattle, here's another text message. Cattle will actually head for cover ahead of a storm, not merely a rain, but a heavy storm.
Okay.
They're smart enough to get out of the way, I guess, to get out of the storm.
I'm glad my dinner's intelligent.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Bill loves bacon, I know that.
Then maybe some of that intelligence in that burger is, All right. What do you guys think as far as this winter is concerned? And I guess what most people, we've talked about temperature fluctuation. You think we're going to have wide variances in temperature, periods where it's going to be unseasonably warm and then go...
I'll give you my three things. So you give it
down
three. Okay. One, wide temperature fluctuation. Two, there will be an ice storm somewhere in the Ohio Great Lakes area. And three, there will be a major tornado outbreak in the deep south in January, February.
Are you guys using seismic waves now to track tornadoes? Is that something?
Well, there's that guy. He used to be in Huntsville. Frank. Oh, gosh. I can't remember his name. Yeah. He's a little different.
Yeah.
He's using PNS waves where you can say a tornado definitely happened here based on that stuff. It's kind of different, but I like different. I kind of think differently than a lot of people, and I like eccentric. You know, I mean, Galileo, they laughed at him.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Bill, what do you think?
Well, keep in mind, I don't like long-range predictions, but
yes,
when you have a strong signal like we had for the hurricane season, there's a reason why the hurricane pattern was the way it was. So looking at what was very similar, 61-62 is the closest match. And that particular winter, our December was on the cold side. It was our 30th coldest out of 120-some.
Mm-hmm.
January was the 25th coldest, and we had an average amount of snow.
Mm-hmm.
So that seems to maybe a little colder overall on average using this method, which, again, this is just an analog method, and maybe normal-ish amounts of snow, but we're going to start out cold. December is going to be a cold month, it looks like, as cold air is really charged up in Canada. It may very well transition to warmer as we get later into the winter season. Mm-hmm. No winter is monolithic,
right?
You know,
that's
where you start
point.
In December, end to February, and it's all cold or all warm.
Right.
So I think this one starts cold and may moderate as we get further in.
Do you see a lot of precipitation in the month of December?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I think we're going to be pretty active.
So that's going to be
especially later in the month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Snow.
One thing I wanted to
say is
good
for your white Christmas.
Right. You made a good point earlier, Cruiser, about the time of the day. The Weather Service, my guys, work really hard, and we do impact-based decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And if a half an inch of snow in the middle of 3 o'clock in the morning of Saturday night, not a big deal. A half inch of snow, Cruiser goes to work at 7 in the morning, is a big deal.
That's
and
a
my
pain.
Guys will be issuing the proper products to get people for protection of life and property. It's a big deal depending on what time it happens and the temperature.
Yep.
That's key.
Sounds like you're saying, Bill, December, January, and then things start to moderate.
Well, that again,
based on the winter,
that everything stays in balance. I think we start cold, so at some point you are going to moderate.
Cold. Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
Things will moderate.
It will go up and down.
Okay. Normal amount of snow. What's our average snowfall in Lexington?
Depending on what you look at, 16 to 18.
16 to 18
inches. Depending what you do.
So you think it's kind of average?
Yeah, I think
we're
so.
Get. All
right.
Guys, it's always fun
what a blast.
To have you here, and it always goes by too fast. I thank you both for coming in. Bill,
Merry
we'll
Christmas.
Talk to you in the next hour. Merry Christmas to you, John, and to you, Bill, and
Merry
your families,
Christmas.
And we'll come back and do it again. And John fills in from time to time. We have him
taking
on.
Taking my gig.
Pops in.
We're putting the band together, man.
Yeah.
We're on a mission from God.
From Gad.